thank Prince, first of all, for writing that title song for us today. Am I on? Testing 1, 2, 3. Here we go. I want to thank Prince for writing that title song for us today. We appreciate it very much, Prince. He didn't know that back in the 80s he was prophesying. How many know that God's going to allow purple to rain? Purple to rain? What are you talking about, Pastor? Let me just tell you about purple. First of all, do you know when you study out the color purple and you look at the definition of purple, you know, different colors have different meanings, and the purple is significant because it has to do with passion and also the word royalty. Those who wear purple are symbolic of those who walk in royalty, those who walk in power and prestige. Back in the biblical days especially, that those who were allowed to wear purple were only kings, and those who were higher up and those who were very affluent and wealthy were allowed to wear purple. And partly because, mostly because, I would say this, it was such a hard thing to come by, that purple was discovered in about 1700, 1800 B.C., that they found purple dye in a crawfish, shellfish. And it took many of these to be captured and squeezed out and get the dye. And so purple was a very valuable thing. That's why only the rich could obtain it. That's why only the royalty was allowed to wear it. It was symbolic of that power because it was such a hard item to come by, this purple dye. Unlike today when we can just make purple, you know, with a little bit of red and blue and boom, it's there. Back then, you know, it could only be attained through this particular dye. And it was very rare and hard to achieve, to obtain it. So therefore, you're only seeing those in authority wearing purple. It was most common in royalty. Only kings were allowed to wear purple. You know, there's a story about, speaking of kings, there's a story in Scripture that talks about King Saul and how King Saul, who was a good man, he was anointed to God, but he had become hardened in his heart and had turned his heart from God. So therefore, God raised up another and raised up a little shepherd boy on the backside of a desert. And said, I'm going to anoint this boy, David, to be king, the next king of Israel. How many are glad that when God looks at us, that he doesn't just see us through race, or he doesn't see us by social class or gender, but when he looks at every one of us today, he says, I see a child of God. I see a child of the king. And when he anointed David, it wasn't because David was in the lineage of Saul, but it was because he had favor with Saul. I mean, he had favor with God, and therefore he anointed David to be the next king of Israel. And we see where David defeated Goliath shortly after this. And after he defeated Goliath, he became a hero in Jerusalem and all of Israel. He became a hero. And Saul became very jealous and knew that he had been anointed to be the next king. But yet he knew that he wanted to be king longer, number one. And number two, he knew that this right really belonged to his own son. And so therefore he sought out to kill David. And so David had to flee for his life. And David's fleeing for his life. It says that Saul took 3,000 soldiers and went after David to kill him. And then it also says David had about 300 to 400 soldiers with him. They were out trying to help protect him. So it was like 3,000 versus 300, okay? And we see where David's hiding out in caves and hiding out in different places trying to avoid Saul and his army. And it says one day when they were out to kill him that they stopped off at a place and King Saul said, hey, man, you know, duty calls, and he had to go into a cave to take care of some personal business. Let's just leave it at that, okay? He had to go into a cave to take care of some personal business. And because it was such a personal business, nobody else was allowed to go into the cave with him, obviously. So he stood guard outside the cave, and the king went in to take care of his business. And as he's in there taking care of his business, lo and behold, guess who's hiding in the cave? King David. King David's hiding. Well, it wasn't King David at the time. David's hiding in the cave. And of course, while King Saul's in there taking care of his business, it says that King David walked over to the royal robe, took out his knife, and he cut away a piece of the robe of the king and waited for the king to go out. And as the king went out and got a safe distance away, then David came out and waved and said, hey, king, yo, what are you guards doing? You're not guarding your king. I could have killed him this day. And he goes on to say, I'm not going to kill you, king, because that's God's job. God will take care of you. I don't have to bring vengeance against you. Even though you're trying to kill me, I'm not trying to kill you. And he waved and showed the purple that he had cut off the robe. See, there was something about David that even though he wasn't going to kill King Saul, he knew that he had a right to be the next king. He knew he had been anointed the next king. And so I imagine he cut off just a piece big enough to go around his belt because he wanted to feel what it felt like to wear a little purple. He wanted to feel what it felt like to be king, even for just for a short time. He wanted to say, what is this royalty thing, man? I like this purple. And I'm sure he goes back to his band of men and says, how's this look on me, guys? They're like, it looks good, man. Fit for a king. You know, so he's walking around, you know, and I'm sure he's like, this is a great thing here. It feels good. Doesn't smell too good because it was with a king in the cave, but still it's good. It's good. He liked, see, there's something about him getting a hold of the hem of the garment of the king that really just, he was saying, you know what, I can't wait to walk in the place that God has for me. I can't wait to walk in the anointing that God has for my life. It reminds me of another story in Scripture. It talks about there was a woman who had an issue of blood. It says that she had been bleeding for 12 years, and she went to the doctor, and she couldn't get any help. She spent all of her money on doctors and specialists. She went broke trying to get help, and she couldn't. No one could heal her. No one could solve her problem. And one day, Jesus was coming through town, and she knew if I could just get to Jesus, that my life could forever change. And it says that as she was there, she had to press through the crowd. Because you know during this time that, man, this was it, man. There was no bigger star than Jesus. He was already doing miracles throughout the land. He was already teaching, and the multitudes were gathered and flocking around him, pushing to get to him. They wanted to touch Jesus. They just want to get a touch of Jesus, just holding up babies. You know the scene. Holding up babies. Touch my baby, Jesus. Do this, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They're all yelling for Jesus. I can see his disciples trying to help him navigate through the crowd. As the thousands pressed toward him to try to get to him. And this woman said, if I could only get to Jesus, I've got an issue in my life that needs to be dealt with. And if I could only get to the hem of his garment. Because, see, she knew that he was the King of Kings and he was the Lord of Lords. He was royalty. He knew that he was the one who could change her issue forever. And I imagine she had to push through so hard because having lost so much blood over all that time, you know that she was very weak and frail. But yet she began to push her way through the crowd and make her way to Jesus. And as she pushed through the crowd, I imagine she was knocked over. And I can see this woman on her hands and knees, crawling, trying to weave through the feet and getting stepped on, getting pushed on, getting shoved. And finally she makes her way to where Jesus is at and she reaches up and she just touches the hem of his garment. She just touches the hem of his garment, and Scripture says that she was immediately made whole. You see, there's something that happens when we touch who Jesus is. When we even touch the royalty that he is. When we even touch the hem of his garment. And it changes my life. It changes your life. It says that Jesus stopped, and I believe this is one of the most funny stories in Scripture when you really think about it. It says that Jesus said when she touched him, he said to his disciples, hey, who touched me? Now think about that. There's thousands of people pushing to Jesus. There's thousands of people touching Jesus. And I can see his disciples looking at him saying, Jesus, how do we tell this guy? How do we say this to him? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. You ask, who touched you? What kind of question is it? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. Hello, the crowd is trying to touch you. They're pressing to you. They're touching us. I can see their robes being torn and their garments being, you know, off to the side and their hair all messed up. They're like, duh, Jesus, everybody's trying to touch you. Look at us. And he said, no, no. See, everybody was trying to get to him. But only one person truly wanted to touch him. And when she touched him by faith, he knew that someone had reached out by faith and said, Jesus, I got an issue. And only you have the power. Only you have the power to change my issue. You see, there's people in this room here. You've got issues in your life. You got things in your life that you're dealing with. And the only way that you'll ever see change come is when you say, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to touch who Jesus is. I've got to touch the royalty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I've got to allow him to change my life forever. I've got to allow him to come and heal my issue. Because, matter of fact, we all have issues here, don't we? Every one of us here, none of us are here without issues in our life. Every one of us from the very back corner in the overflow to the sides over here, every one of us here have issues in our life. And some of them aren't very pretty. Most of them aren't very pretty, let's just be honest. And we got issues we're dealing with, and today you're here with a chance to touch the hem of the garment of the Savior. You're here today with a chance to touch who Jesus is and allow Him to come and heal your issue, to heal my issue. He's here today to heal our issues. Because see, it's the royalty. It took Jesus from the garden. The soldiers took Him. Took Him before Pilate. He was tried unfairly. Sentenced to a public beating. They tied Him to a post. Ripped off His garments. Took the whip, the cat of nine tails. Began to tear into His back. With every pull of the whip, His flesh would be ripped off His bones. To the point to where the only thing left on His back was just the meat hanging off and the flesh hanging off from His bones. Most of it had been ripped off. Why did He do that? Why did He willingly allow Himself to be beaten beyond recognition? Because He loved you and I. You see, the King of Kings came down on this earth, born in a manger, to identify with you and I. He lived our life. He walked in our shoes, and He knows what we went through. And the Scripture says that He bore the weight of the sins on the cross. So when He willingly laid down on the cross and allowed them to drive the nails into His hands, the nails into His feet, to be lifted up and to hang in there with nothing but nails holding His flesh, He did it because He wanted to heal my issue. He wanted to heal your issue. He did it because He loved us that much. And He wanted to heal who we were. And it says that while they were beating Him, they came back and they said, "Who are you? Are you the King of the Jews?" That's what the Romans asked Him. And He said, "Yes, as you say it, I am." And the Romans, who were a bunch of heathens who really didn't have any kind of religious ties one way or another, they recognized something in Jesus that many hadn't. They recognized that He was the King of the Jews. They recognized that He was the King of Kings. And it says they took a purple robe and placed it around Him before they crucified Him. Placed it on Him. The purple robe. That robe didn't stay purple very long because it became blood-stained. Sticking to His back because of the blood that was pouring out of His body. But there was something about the purple robe on Jesus signifying that He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But yet, He willingly gave His life for you and I. But yet, He willingly laid down His life that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. In my place, Scripture says He could have called out 10,000 angels to come down and to fight for Him and to rescue Him. But He said, "No, Father, into Your will I commit my hands. Not my will, but Your will be done, Dad." That's what He said to His dad. That's what He said to our Heavenly Father. As He willingly laid on the cross so that you and I wouldn't have to. That when you and I accept what Jesus did on the cross, that we can accept His royal robe. You see, that's a story of purple rain. Jesus told a story one time of a young man. And so this young man was part of a wealthy family. His dad was a very wealthy man. His dad had purple robes. His dad was one of the wealthiest men in all the region. And it says that, of course, in that tradition, that man would have received inheritance when he received a mature age. He would have received that inheritance given to him from the father. But he went to him at a young age and said, "Dad, I know my inheritance is supposed to come later on in life, but right now I want it all." He said, "Dad, give me everything I have coming to me." So his dad, even though it was sad in his heart, gave him everything, his part of his inheritance. And it says the man went out and took all this money and wasted it on prodigal living. It says he went out and began to party. You turned on the TV and you saw him hanging out on the Jersey Shore. Him and Snook were partying it up. Next week, he turned it on. He's on the West Coast, hanging out with the Kardashians. I mean, he's just out there, man. Everywhere. He was on E! Channel News. Every entertainment channel there was, his face was popping up. Guess who the next socialite is? He's with this person, that person. He's at the party, and it says that he wastes his money on prodigal living. He gambled it away. He used it on drugs. He blew it on alcohol. He blew it on just a fast lifestyle, party lifestyle. He blew all of his money, and then it says a famine came upon the land. And when the famine came upon the land, nobody could find work. People were starving. And so at a last resort, he finally went to somebody because his friends had all left him. How many know that's so true? That it's fun for a while. I can tell you that. Sin is fun for a while. It's fun for a while, but there will come a time those people really aren't your friends, and they'll leave you. As soon as your money dries up, they're gone. As soon as the party's over, they're gone. That's what happened. He's out there by himself trying to just get a meal so he doesn't perish away and die. Finally, he finds an old pig farmer and says, hey, I'll feed your pigs for free if you'll just let me eat with the pigs. So that's what he did. He lived with the pigs, ate with the pigs. He'd feed them, and he had to be out there sharing their slop with them. You think of a famine, you think of the slop that was left over to feed the pigs during that time. You and I can't even comprehend the stuff that he was feeding them. Fear factor had nothing on these guys. I can tell you that right there. It was nasty. Nasty. He's out there in the mud and the pig mess, rolling around, eating with the pigs, just trying to stay alive. And it says finally one day he came to a census. He's like, you know what? My dad's servants have it a lot better than I have it. I go back to my dad and I say, Dad, forgive me. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I know I shamed you in the family name. I blew my inheritance. But can I just come back and work for you as a servant? I'll come back and do that, and he'll forgive me, and I can at least live better than living with the pigs. So he set off on his journey, coming home. And it says that as he did that he was going and looking far off, was his father waiting. His father was looking for his son to return. And at one time, his son began to walk back. Pastor Matt. And it says that from a long way, the prodigal son began to come back home. And he looked at him. And he saw his son from a long ways away. And he began to run toward his son. It says that he ran toward him. And as he ran toward him, it says that he wrapped his arms around him in forgiveness. It says, my son's home. Oh, I missed you, son. Son, I'm glad you're home. Son, I loved you so much. Son, I missed you so much. Son, I'm just glad you're here. Before the son ever had a chance to say, Dad, I'm sorry I disappointed you. Dad, I'm sorry that I spent all your money. Dad, I'm sorry I disgraced the family. Before he could say any of that, the dad said, hey, bring out some new sandals for him. He needs some new shoes. Hey, bring me the ring, the family ring, and put it on his finger. Because when he had that family ring, he could go and stamp that thing. He could buy anything he wanted. Here's the family gold card, son. Here you go. You know what else he said? He says, bring me that robe. Put the new robe on him. He took out the purple robe of royalty, placed it around him, and said, my son, who was lost, is now home again. Let's party. Let's celebrate that my son has returned home. You see, this is the way Jesus sees you and I. That even though we have ran from him and we have done things in our life that we feel like are so bad, that when we come to him, that he comes and he wraps around us the purple garment, saying, my son, my daughter, welcome home. He puts us back into right standing with the Father. He says, I've called you kings and queens. I've called you princes and prince of the Most High. It's just a thing that God's calling us to. A position that he's given to you and I. A position of wearing the purple once again. We got to come to him. See, this is the story of Easter. This is the story of Easter that we come back to the Lord and say, God, I give my life to you. I accept what you did on the cross in order for you to wrap your purple around me and restore me back into the kingdom of God. See, when Jesus arose from the dead, he became alive. What did he do? He validated everything that he'd ever said. So when he says that he was going to wrap his arms around us in forgiveness, when he said he would take his robe and wrap it around us, signifying the relationship between us and the Father, when he said he'd come again, when he said, I go to a place to prepare for you, that when he said these things, that when he rose from the grave, that he was alive, he validated and said, yes, what I said, I meant. When I told you I would be buried, but on the third day I would rise again, I meant. And when he rose from the grave, he validated everything that he said he would do in our life. We're going to watch this video that says alive, the resurrection power of our Savior.
Overcome, death has lost, and love has.
We are glad he's alive today. Are you glad he's alive? Amen. I'm going to tell you one more story in closing today, and it's a story found in Genesis chapter 32. A story about a guy named Jacob. And Jacob was a guy who made a lot of stupid mistakes in his life. One, he made so many mistakes in his life that he had to be separated from his family. His brother wanted to kill him because he had lied about the inheritance, and he tricked his father into believing he was really his older brother. And his father gave him the blessing, and remember how he had to run for his life and just set off a chain of bad decisions in his life. Set off a chain of bad event after bad event, bad mistake after bad mistake. You know, Jacob's name was a powerful name because his name meant deceiver. How many would like to have that name for your name? My name's Deceiver. Nice to meet you. That's something you want to admit to somebody, would it? Yeah, my name's Deceiver. I'm a liar. I'm a scam artist. That's me. Yeah, that's me. That was his past, and that's who he was. And he had to deal with that because he had made so many mistakes trying to run from his past. Finally, one night, he had an encounter with God. Had an encounter with an angel of the Lord, and it says that he grabbed a hold and said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He was like, I'm tired of being the person I am. I'm tired of being this person who's known for his past, his mistakes. I want to change. I've got to be blessed. I need something. See, sometimes in your life, you just got to be so tired of where you're at and say, you know what? I'm ready to give up, God. I'm ready for you to change me. God, I'm ready for you to change my destiny. I'm ready for you to change who I am. And it says that the angel asked him, said, what's your name? Now, of course, it already knew his name, but there was something about him having to admit who he was. He had to admit, my name is Jacob. I'm the deceiver. You see, we have to come to God just like we are. Some of us here, we wait so long and we say, you know what, I'm going to serve God, but first I'm going to change some things in my life. I know a pastor I need to change, and so I want to get right first. I want to stop doing this first. I want to break this bad habit first. And we try to qualify ourselves, and God's like, no, you just come to me saying, this is who I am, God. This is who I am, God. It says at the moment that he admitted who he was, he said, I'm Jacob, I'm the deceiver. It says that the angel said, no longer will you be known as Jacob. But from now on, your name is going to be known as Israel. What a cool name. I would like the name. Why couldn't my parents name me Israel? That's a cool name. I like it. Because you see, Israel means Prince of God. So Jacob goes from being a scam artist, deceiver, a liar, person who's made horrible mistakes in his life, to a person that God says, I don't see you as that. I see you as a child of God. I see you as a prince of God. See, what happened in Jacob's life happened all the way in the book of Genesis to set the example of what God was wanting to do in your life and my life. That when I come to God and say, God, I'm Gene. And man, I'm a sinner. And God, I need you to forgive me. He comes and he places his robe around me and says, no, you're no longer Gene. You're known now as a child of God. He says, you're known as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm calling you out of darkness into my wonderful light. See, God is here today calling you out. Prince sung Purple Rain. We just heard it when we opened up the message today. Prince is kind of a cool name. It's a cool name for an artist. And I don't know what happened to him along the line. He got kind of weird and changed his name from Prince to the artist formerly known as Prince. I think even for a while he quit having a name. He just had a symbol. Remember that? He just had a symbol for a name. Goes by the artist formerly known as Prince. I thought about that and said, you know what? It kind of reflects my life. Because I want people to know that I'm the artist formerly known as Gene. Now I'm known as the Prince of God. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. So today, I can walk in royalty. I can accept God's love and forgiveness in my life. What he did on the cross what he did through the death and the resurrection. And I can walk in forgiveness if I will just ask. I can be clothed. It's like the prodigal son who came home. Just like myself personally, when I came home, I said, God, I need you. Today, he's waiting on you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Nobody's looking around but me. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes. I will not embarrass you in one point at all today, but I want to ask you this question. Today, where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Today you have a chance to make a decision. God, I'm tired of trying to change who I am. Today, God, I just want to come in and I want to walk in your forgiveness. Today I want to accept your son, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you prayed it a long time ago, and today you say, I need to come back. I haven't lived for God in a long time, and today I want to come back and renew my relationship with the Father. I'm ready to come back home and have that robe put around me that covers my faults, that covers my sins, and places me back into right standing with the Father. With every head bowed, I'm going to ask you this question right today. Are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If that's you today, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make a decision. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it high. You want to join these? We had 12 in the first service. We've had many already this morning. You want to join us today. Say, you know what, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision to serve Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Raise your hand today. If you haven't raised it, yes, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today, raise it right there. Thank you. That's me. I'm ready, Pastor. Today's my day. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you. Awesome. Today, Pastor, is my day. I'm ready. I'm ready for Jesus to change my life. I feel this Holy Spirit tugging in my heart. I don't know what that is, but I know there's something tugging in my heart that says I want to ask Jesus into my life and I want to accept his forgiveness. That's a great thing. That means his Holy Spirit is just speaking to you. One more time, if you have not raised your hands yet, and today's your day, and you say, I'm ready. I want you to raise it one more time. If you haven't done it yet, raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it high. Thank you. I see that hand back there. We're going to say this prayer out loud. As Christians, we're going to say it along with you, especially those who raised your hands today. If you raised your hand and you meant it today, I want you to say this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. All of my sin. All of my hurt. All of my dreams. I give to you. I place in your hands. I believe you are the Messiah. God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family of God, man. Yeah. Well, listen, if you raised your hand today, I invite you, before you leave today, go back to our information booth here in the back. We've got a welcome center there. We've got a free Bible and some other information that tells you what you need to do next. Today is just the beginning of a new journey. If you don't have a church home, you need to be somewhere. We'd love to have you here. We'd love just to build a relationship with you that supports you in your decision today. You can't do it on your own. So tell somebody you came with, hey man, I made a decision today to follow after Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus. And allow that person to support you and to tell you what you need to do next. Stop by there and get that free Bible and some other things to help you along your decision for Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with a song that says, I won't go back. I've been changed. How many today say, I've been changed. Pastor, I've been changed. God's wrapped that robe around me of purple. He's called me son and daughter. And from this moment on, I want to tell you, I am not going back to the person I was, but I'm going forward to become the person God's calling me to be. Let's sing a song. Change.
Your grace, and I even found your favor, God. And so we're going to say this today. Say, right now,
is the
today,
today is the
I've
day.
Been changed. My guilt and all of my sins, they've been forgiven. There's no more chains holding me down. Anybody believe that this morning? No more chains. And my past, this is the best part, my past is over. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Come on.
Never going back
to the way you were. Come on, sing it again. Say never.
Never going back.
back, say.
I won't go back. Won't go back to the way it used to be.
Come on, let's take it up. Let's take it up again. Come on, say never.
Never going back.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody get that in your heart this morning. I'm never going back. Jesus,
hallelujah,
to the way it was. Oh, I'm never going back. No. Oh, never. Come on, sing it again.
Put your hands together and bless the Lord today.
Hallelujah,
Lord. We're never going back, God. You have changed us. God, you have called us, Lord, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. God, today we walk in the power of purple rain. Father, we walk in your power today, God, that you reign on high. God, we thank you today, God, you have clothed us with your cloth today, God, of righteousness, of royalty.
Hallelujah.
And call me a child of the King. God, we bless your name together and we say, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Whoa. Hallelujah.
All right, today before you leave, turn to somebody and give them a high five or a hug and say, man, I'm glad to be in church with you today. You guys have a great week. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. God bless you.